searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go. 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 This the way to go.
You are now listening to The Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Clapping, we honor our Bishop, First Lady Walker, all of the ministers, First Lady Baker as well. As you grow as a teenager and as a young adult, it's important for young people to understand that it is essential or very important that you understand and value stewardship. It's very important that as a young person, you understand stewardship. Especially the closer you get to graduating from high school or college and you start entering into adulthood, stewardship is very, very important. Now, there are a number of definitions or meanings of a steward, but this morning I want to give you just a few, okay? A steward, in one sense, is a servant or a minister, a preacher. We are stewards of the gospel. But a steward is also a servant. Furthermore, it's a person that is, notice, a manager, a treasurer, someone that needs to make sure, especially as a young person, you manage three things in particular as you grow into adulthood. You have to learn how to manage your time. You have to learn how to manage or be a good steward of people. And you need to learn how to manage and be a good steward over money. No way around it. If you and I are going to be productive stewards, we got to learn how to manage our time. In my opinion, time is important. You can lose or spend money, but you can get it back. But time, once it's gone, that's it. And so as a young person, as a young adult, you have to learn how to be good stewards over your time. 24 hours in every day, and you got to maximize every day to the fullest. You got to strive to be productive every single day. You have to learn how to manage people. One fault I see in many young people when they graduate from high school and they have a lot of time on their hands is that there are many young people that don't know how to manage relationships. You have to learn how to deal with different types of people so you're not taken advantage of or you get off course or out of the will of God. You got to learn how to deal with people that are attracted to you. You got to learn how to deal with people that don't like you. You got to learn how to deal with people that talk about you but really don't know you. Okay, because if you don't know how to manage people, people can control your life. People can control your mind. Y'all understand? And so you have to learn how to be a steward of people. It's some folk you need to just know how to ignore. It's some people you just got to know how to deal with. And the main person you got to know how to deal with is yourself. All right? But then another important area that I know that is important that you and I need to know how to be good stewards over of is money, things in this life. You've got to learn how to manage and control and handle and multiply money. That's just a part of life. And if you learn it as a young person, you won't have to worry about being dependent on people. You won't have to worry about being dependent on your parents, always looking for a handout and so forth. If you can learn the skill of being a good steward over money, you're going to be ahead of the game in life. Now, I'm going to primarily deal with all of these throughout the year, but today I just want to touch on some things that's going to lay a good foundation, because again, we need to be and learn how to be stewards as young people, right? Now, within our text, it reveals four traits that we're going to talk about this morning. There's one little small verse in Luke 12 and 42. It gives, in this parable, it gives two traits of a steward and two traits of our Lord. So 2 + 2, y'all slow to the draw, is what? Is 4. So we're going to look at these four traits in this verse, and then we're going to be done. Now we're going to look at, first of all, the two traits of the Lord. Because remember, it's a parable. And a parable is a short story that contains truth. And so we need to be able to look at this verse and find the truths that are in it and apply it to our life. Because truth, young folk, is what's going to make us free if we walk therein. All right? So let's look at two traits of the Lord. And then we're going to look at two traits of a steward. First of all, in the parable, it talks about a master. And when it comes to Jesus, understand, young folk, the Lord is our master. Okay? He's our master. He's the one that's in complete control. Now look at my notes. In order to mature in stewardship, we must understand that everything belongs to the Lord. You got to have that understanding. Everything belongs to the Lord. It may have somebody else's name on it, but it's the Lord's. You may be indirectly working for somebody, but you got to understand that. Or you may directly be working for somebody, but if everything's the Lord's, including that particular job, that means you are indirectly working for the Lord. Everything belongs to the Lord, right? Now, many of us know Psalm 24 and 1, and it reads, "The earth is the Lord's, and its fullness, the world, and those who dwell therein." Everything. You driving it, but it's the Lord who allowed you to have it. You wearing it, but it's the Lord who allowed you to have it. Everything belongs to the Lord, right? I own it. My name is on the deed, but it's the Lord who gave me that house. Everything belongs to the Lord. Breaking it on down. Yeah, it's your parents' house, but your parents ought to be stewards over that house and everybody that stays there. And so even though you may feel like your parents are being mean and strict, you got to look beyond them and say, hold up, they must understand that this stuff belongs to the Lord. The earth is whose? The Lord's. and the fullness thereof. Everyone, everything therein is the Lord's. Now, everybody ain't a child of God, right? All souls belong to the Lord. But some people, it's either going to be one or two. You're either going to be a child of God or a child of the devil. Jesus told a group of folk, you are of your father, the devil. So everybody ain't a child of God, but all souls belong to him. Y'all with me? All right, follow me over to Matthew 25. Follow me to Matthew 25. Let's look at this. If the Lord is the master, let's get a little bit more understanding. Because you're going to hear stuff like, the world is yours. No, it ain't. It's the Lord's. Okay? Matthew 25 and 14. And it reads, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. The Lord in heaven, right? And when he rose from the grave, he rose with all power and authority in heaven, in earth, and the Bible says, and beneath. And so while he gone, he done left his servants his goods. It's his stuff, right? It's his stuff. Everything belongs to the Lord. Y'all see it? All right. So if God bless you with something, you got to remember, man, God gave me this. If God bless your parents with something and they let you use it, you got to understand, man, God blessed us with this. I need to be a steward over what God has given me, his goods, his stuff. And how many understand what God gives, he can also take away? If God give you his stuff, he can also take away his stuff, right? Or he can give it to somebody, give it to somebody else. If I don't want to do right, he can move me out the way and give it to somebody else. If you don't want to do right, he can take his stuff away and give it to your brother, give it to your sister, or give it to me, or give it to somebody else. How many, by a show of hands, understand everything belongs to the Lord? All right. Number two in the text, it tells us that the Lord makes ruler and gives us our portion in due season. He makes us ruler. God will give us stuff that'll be in our own control. Just like he did with Ananias and Sapphira. He gave them some property. When they sold it, it was in their control. They could do whatever they wanted to do with the money. It was theirs. Understand, young folk, when you and I live right, God will give us stuff. I said God will give us stuff to enjoy and to be a blessing to other folk. If we stay in faith or in the will of God, God gonna give us some good stuff. But I love the text because he gonna give it to us in due season. It's stuff that God has ordained for you to have and for me to have. He gonna give Baker his portion. He gonna give Florence her portion. He gonna give, put your name in there. He gonna give you your portion. But it's gonna be in his timing. All right? There are some things, young folk, you can go out and get, but if you ain't ready, you're gonna lose it. Or you're gonna mess yourself up. So we need to be like, Lord, I want what you have for me, but I want it when you want me to have it. God can want you to have companionship in his time, But you go out and try to do it the way you want to do it, you're going to mess yourself up. Because you're not ready. You think you're ready. And how many know sometimes we think we're in one place until we get a certain thing and we be like, oh, Lord, I'm not ready. See, if you got a lie to keep something, that's a sign that you ain't ready. You got to sneak around to do certain things, that's a sign that you ain't ready. Y'all hear me? So understand, God will give us things in life, but it's going to be in due season, in his time. Okay? You go out and start driving before you get your license. Well, you know, I can drive. I ain't got no license, but I can drive. Yeah. You're going to pay for that if you get pulled over or if you hit somebody. You can do it. It just ain't the right season. And God, listen, young folk, he tells us his seasons when we come to his house. He will reveal his seasons or his secrets through his servants, the prophets. That's how when we know the seasons of God, he'll tell you it's your time to get bigger and better. It's your time for this, that, and the other, right? All right. So God gonna do it. And so if you're going through things and you feel like, man, God just, I don't think he want to do it. Get that out your mind. He do want to do it. But the Bible talks about how we have to have certain traits in us before he do certain things. We got to do the will of God before he release certain things in our life. So don't ever get anxious, young folk, when you look online or you look in other people's life and it seems like you not getting it or you not moving along. No, look a little bit closer and always understand God going to do it. You just have to ask yourself, am I ready to receive what God has for me? And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for that yet. I'm not ready for that. I had this young lady years ago, and I've told y'all about it, and she finally came clean, and she was talking about how she was going through so much pressure in relationships and sex and so forth to where she just finally started doing what she wanted to do. And so when she got into some mess and started messing up, she came back and she said, Pastor Baker, I just never knew relationships and all this. It just came with all of this. I was not ready. It's important to be mature, young folk, before you try to get involved with certain things. Let's go to 1 Samuel. I ain't getting too much help. It's all right. It's all right. Let me show y'all how the Lord does certain things. Look at 1 Samuel 2 and 7. And it reads, the Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. See, God can make a wealthy person poor. And he can make a poor person wealthy. Somebody that's last can be first. And somebody that's first can be last. God can do anything. He in control. For us to experience what the Lord has promised, we must be the type of stewards in the text. I want God to make me. I want him to make me into being who he said I would be in his word. Yeah. I want him to bring me from the bottom, and he is, to the top. I want everything he has for me. But if that's going to happen for you and I, young folk, we have to be the type of stewards that God has said we need to be in his word. And as a young person, if you grab this precept now, I'm telling you, your life is going to be so far, you're going to be, as we say, ahead of your time. Ahead of your time, in your 20s, in your early 30s, God blessing you like you just been on this earth 50 and 60 years. Why? Because you have learned to be the type of steward that God has required you to be. You don't want to be like so many young folk. They waste away their 20s and their 30s. They teen years. They just wasted away. And then they try to get everything together in their late 50s. You don't want to be like that. Well, you might want to be like that. If you don't want to be like that, look at somebody and say, I'm not going to be like that. No, get it together right now. When you look in scripture, you find young people that were the type of stewards that God had prescribed. And in truth, Nebuchadnezzar, these are the type of young people that he went looking for in Judea. He went looking for young people that were godly stewards. And they had these two traits that we're finna talk about on this morning. The first trait of a steward that we need to have is we need to be a faithful steward. Now, it's gonna get a little touchy, but I want to deal with it to help us, okay? Tell somebody I must be a faithful steward. That's right. And remember, a steward is someone who manages time, money, people, someone that's like a treasurer, and so forth. Y'all got it? So a faithful steward. First of all, when a person is faithful, it says that they are responsible. You are responsible. You're accountable for your actions. You're someone that can be trusted. Whether pastor is there or not, you can be trusted. Whether mama is there, daddy is there or not, you can be trusted. You're responsible. You can be trusted to get on the internet and do the right thing. You're responsible with a $25,000 car. You ain't out doing that dumb stuff in a car that got your parents' name on it. You're responsible. You can be trusted. You can be sent off to another county or state to go to school and do the right thing. Not saying you're going to be flawless or perfect, but you can be trusted to go to class. You got to get up on your own now. I'm not there. You can be trusted on the cash register at your job. You ain't going to be hooking up everybody. You ain't going to be taking money out for yourself. You are responsible and someone that can be trusted. Mama can leave her purse in the same room and don't have to worry about you going in it. Daddy can have two guns in the house and you can be trusted that you're not going to be playing with them when he's not there. Or take it to school just to show your friends. You can be trusted. You're a good steward or a faithful steward. When someone is faithful, they conduct themselves according to the word. Bottom line, a faithful person is going to conduct themselves according to the word. They're going to think, talk, and do the word. Yes. I'm faithful. Lord have mercy. And when you look at it, I'm not going to deal with it, but it's good to know. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. So if you're a young person that's born again and you got the Holy Spirit, faithfulness should be a trait that you manifest. Let's go to Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20. And notice, if you will, verse number 6. How many got to be more faithful? Just from these definitions right here. Let me see some hands. Yeah, all of us. In some way or another, we could all do what? Do better. Okay, Proverbs 20 and 6. Look at this. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness. How many know that's true? Most folk gonna talk good about themselves. Most folk gonna say, yeah, I got it going on. I do such. Yeah, you know that. Yeah, man, I hit 20 last night. Yeah, you know, I made such and such on my job. You know, most folk gonna talk good about them, about themselves. But look at the rest of the verse. But who can find a faithful man? What is this verse letting us know about faithfulness? It's a rare trait. It's difficult to find faithful folk. It's difficult. That's why if you and I have the trait of faithfulness, we're already setting ourselves apart from the crowd. Who can find a faithful young person? Who can find, what parent can find a son or a daughter that's going to actually be in their room sleep while the house supposed to be in their room sleep and they not sneaking out? Who can find a faithful child like that? Woo. Who can find somebody that you can tell, look, I want you to do X, Y, Z, and they do X, Y, Z? Who can find a person like that? Who can find a person like that? Where is the person here that the parent can say, look, go clean your room? They can ask one time. One time. And they'll be found cleaning their room instead of playing a video game, on the phone, watching Netflix, or falling asleep, or halfway doing the job. He asked a good question. Who can find a faithful man? Who can find a faithful person? Is there a pastor that can find a faithful minister? You don't have to worry about the minister stabbing him in the back. Woo, look at somebody and say, that's a good question. And remember what it means to be faithful: responsible, accountable. And see, we have to look at our life. I have to be to the point where I say, does my wife deem me a faithful husband? Do she know I'm going to pay the bills? And she not come home and worry about stuff being cut off? I got one son that lived with me. I have to be to the point, can he consider me a faithful father? Is daddy going to tell me what's right? Is daddy going to be a good example for me? I got to be a faithful father. Then I got to look at my role in the church. Can the MSW say I'm a faithful pastor? Is it obvious that pastor going to pray, study, feed me with knowledge and understanding? Y'all see where I'm going? But look at your life. Can your parents deem you faithful? Can your job deem you faithful? You always calling out. Always. Your teachers at school, can they deem you faithful? The way you pay your bills, are you faithful? Mighty quiet in here. Let's go to Isaiah. It make you think, don't it? Yeah. When God look at you, do he consider you faithful? Do he consider you faithful with your time? Do you spend time with your God the way you should? Or are you more faithful to other things? Look at this, Isaiah 1, and let's look at verse 21. Y'all talk back. Y'all with me? All right. How the faithful city has become a harlot, a whore, a hoe, as we would say. Let's start from the top. How the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. What do I want us to see? Faithfulness can be lost. You could have been a faithful person at one time, but what changed in your life? See, this city was known by God by being faithful, but now a harlot, murderers, and such. What do I want us to see? There are some folk that can start out being faithful, but turn into something else. Man, you used to be respectable. You're disrespectful now. What done happened? I used to could count on you to be there. What done happened? You used to pay your bills on time. What done happened? You used to keep your grades right. What done happened? Have you ever changed from being faithful to something else? About four folk in here. Five if you add me to the list. Five of us. Let me ask you, have you ever went from being faithful to something else? Yeah. But see, it's time out for that. It's time out for that. Once we are faithful, we need to stay that way. Just be loyal. Stay responsible, dependable. Stay in that vein. Things are going to try to get us out of that, but say, nope, I'm going to be steadfast, unmovable. I'm going to stay right here. And see, you're going to meet people. And sometimes as you go through life, you're going to change. But that's one thing that you don't need to let change in a negative way, is your faithfulness. Always be known as someone that can be depended on. Someone that can be trusted. Yeah, be a faithful steward. Lord have mercy. Faithfulness can be lost. And if you lose it, you gotta get it back. Woo, look at somebody say, if you lost it, get it back. That's right. Just get it, just get back in that thing. Because the Bible teaches, I'm not gonna go there, but a faithful man abounds in blessings. When you and I are faithful, God is gonna make sure we're blessed in every aspect of our life. And I want the blessing of the Lord. Because the blessing of the Lord will make us rich and add no sorrow. Luke 16. I told you we're going to do a little work this morning. Luke 16. All right? Luke 16. All right. This one hit home for me. Luke 16:10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. When it comes to faithfulness, young folk, Learn to be faithful over little. Don't be in such a hurry to get more. No, just be faithful over little. Be faithful over that. When I got to the stage of life where I had to make sure and get, well, I didn't have to, but where we chose to get my son's vehicles, I'll never forget the first vehicle that I got, Brother Gabe. I'll never forget that. He was ready to drive. Matter of fact, he needed to be able to drive. You know, we had a lot going on. He wanted to work. And so, you know, he had these desires. I told him real quick, I said, bro, we ain't getting that. You remember that, son? I was like, we ain't getting that. I don't see him. Is he? Okay, anyway, let me go on. But I got him this little bitty old Ford Focus. This white Ford Focus. You remember. Oh, man. It made noise when you drove it. The doors, when you open it, they made noise. The wheels, they weren't shining. He wasn't shining. But the car ran. Yeah, it ran. And so we got him. And he was, you know, part of him was excited. But I know when you're at that age, you're like, God, all the trash ugly. But my mindset was like, God, let me see if he going to be faithful over this right here. And so I would tell him, I was like, look, this the type of gas you put in there. Look, you need to clean it like this. You need to do this and do that. And so he started driving the car and got a job. And he would drive, and I would tell him, I was like, look, man, don't be speeding in this car. And so he had only been driving. You don't mind me telling this story, do you? He had been driving for probably only just a few weeks. I mean, passed his driver's license test just like that. And so he was happy. He was ready. You know, school bus days were over. He was getting up driving to school now. And so I would tell him, like, look, man, don't be driving fast because my name on the car. And when you get a ticket, I get a ticket, okay? And so, of course, like most young folk, I hear you, Daddy. I got you. I ain't going to be driving fast. And so I had taught him and so forth. And let me tell you something, young folk. It's nothing like being a parent when you knowing your child is out driving. They can tell you they on their way home all they want. You sitting up bright-eyed until they get home safely. Yeah, it's just something about that. So anyway, I'll never forget this. He was driving and so forth. And this one particular day, he was coming home from work. He was working at Ingles. And he had told me and convinced me that he was going to drive the way he told me that I had told him to drive. Y'all still with me? So he called me. And usually, we done timed what time he's supposed to get home. He get off at 10. He should be home around about 10:28. So this particular night, it's getting late. And I'm like, where you at? So I didn't call him. And so then he called me. He called me, Daddy, come and get me. I was like, bro, what's going on? Where you at? I'm on the side of the road. I was like, what done happened? I said, you all right? And I was mad, but I was like, you all right? He's like, yeah, I'm all right. I said, what happened? I drove off the side of the road. I said, all right, where you at? And I come get it. He all off in the woods, in the ditch. I said, what happened? Another car was coming, and I swerved, and I flipped the car and was over in the side of the ditch. I said, Gabe, what did you do, son? He said, well, I went on the left side to avoid the car. I said, you drove on the left side of the highway? He said, yeah, because I was trying to get away. And then when I went back, I swerved. And I said, Lord, have mercy. And he was hurt. You know, he was in, you know, going through and so forth. But thankfully, it wasn't no wreck. We pushed the car out of the woods. Well, I pushed the car out of the woods. And he started the car and went back home. And I think that event, it helped him to understand, man, I got to be more responsible in how I drive. Got to be more responsible. It shook him, but I was glad it happened the way it happened. And so he got back. He was driving. He was on the straight and narrow. Oh, man, he was on the straight and narrow. So then we graduate to the green car. Yeah, big green. Put him in big green, and he had learned how to act in the white car. So now he in the green car, a bigger car. And so we still looking at how he gonna take care of this. And thankfully, he did for the most part. He was a good steward. He was a good steward. And till finally he graduated, and we gave him another car, and then he got his own car. But the lesson I'm trying to teach you, young folk, is just be faithful over little. Just learn. Be faithful over that little room you got. Keep that clean. So when it's time for you to get your own, it'll be a God thing. Just be pick up the clothes that somebody else bought for you. Yeah, because if you're talking that, when I get my own money and buy my own clothes, they're going to be on the floor the same way. Because if you ain't taking care of that, you ain't going to take care of something bigger. Learn to be faithful over little. Just be faithful over little. Most folk look at what we got now, but we didn't start like this in this sanctuary. We didn't start like this. We started real small, and it was a God thing. Started real small. We started in the nursery. That's where youth ministry was. When Bishop made me youth pastor years ago, all we had was a nursery. Then the nursery got took away from us because they were expanding the church. Well, I said, well, Lord, we got to keep having youth ministry. I can't stop. So we started having ministry at the funeral home. Yeah, in there with dead bodies. We was. And some of you may remember that. But we used to come on Tuesdays. I'd take them to the funeral home. We meet in the chapel, rush back to the church, and let you go back home. And we did that for years. But I understood God was looking to see if I was going to be faithful over little. Then when this building got built, we didn't have up here. We were meeting in the gym. We didn't have all this sound system. We had a karaoke machine. Pierre was my sound man. Yeah, Pierre and Minister Shamard. Now, I would say, look, press the play button and the stop button. Yeah, I used to give the messages over a karaoke machine. All them years putting in that work until finally we got blessed with this. And it's a God thing. It's a God thing. How many understand? So wherever you are, whether it's something your parents gave you or whatever it is, just be faithful, young folk. Over least. Over little. Be faithful over little. And then God gonna bless you with more. And that's why many of your parents flip out on you when you don't keep stuff clean. Because they understand if we be faithful over what we got, God will give us some more. God will give us more. Right? If you can pay your one little cell phone and manage that, you can manage other bills. When my boys were getting close to graduate from high school, I set them down and I told them, I said, now look, as long as you here, I said, and you do right, you ain't got to worry about paying for nothing. I said, but when you get 21, you're going to have some responsibility around here. I was trying to teach them how to be faithful. I said, look, we'll take care of your phone bill as long as you do right. You ain't got to worry about this, that, and the third, as long as you do right. But when you turn 21, every month, I'm going to need this much right here. This much right here. But, Daddy, I'm work. Well, get used to it because that's life. And you got to have some responsibilities. So when 21 came, Gabe started giving me the amount required. And when he was late, I'd be on him like a bill collector. Where my money? No, seriously, I just stick my hand out. Where my money? Where my money? Because I was trying to teach them that, look, once you owe somebody, them folk, they want their money. Yeah. Yeah. And so, 21, I said, look, you're going to start, when you have to get oil changes, you're going to pay for them. the major work on the car, if you're doing right, I take care of it. But oil changes and other little things, you going to have to take care of. Trying to teach them how to be a good steward. Look, every time you get your money, I want you to take out this amount. I would do that since they was little kids. Take out this amount right here, and I'm going to put it to the side. And they had a little knot by the time they got out of high school. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Yeah, so just be faithful over little. And don't get mad when your parents start giving you responsibilities around the house. They're trying to teach you. They're trying to train you for life, how to be a faithful steward. But he not only wants them to be a faithful steward, the text goes on to say he also wants them to be a wise steward. A wise steward. Faithful and wise. Okay? Wise. When a person is wise, they possess and practice knowledge and understanding. You're going to put into action what you're being taught if you're wise. Now, if you are a fool, you're going to come to church, hear what's being taught, leave, and do what you want to do. But a wise person, they get knowledge and understanding, and then they put it into action. Furthermore, look at my definition. A wise person is able to discern what to do, how to think, and how to talk. That makes you and I wise when we know how to think, talk, and act. It's some folk, they try to provoke you to act a certain way. You trying to make me hit you. Yeah, I can tell right now, you want to fight. But I'm wise. I ain't finna hit you because I get in trouble. Yeah. You trying to make me do such and such. No, when you wise, you know how you should act. Right? Young folk, you got to be wise. You got to be faithful and wise. When you get your own place, you got to be wise. Can't be on that dumb stuff. Everything that go down on that property is your responsibility. If you invite folk over that's on that dumb stuff, if they own drugs and they leave the drugs over your house and you don't know it, then the police come, you can say all day it ain't yours. Your name is on that property. So you gotta be wise. You gotta be wise. You gotta be wise about who you hang with. You have to be wise. I gave this guy one time, I was just calling myself being nice. This been probably 10 plus years ago. I called myself just being nice. These guys that I used to know in the, just from association and going out with the missionary team and witnessing the folk, these boys was on the street. They knew I went to place of refuge. They knew I was a preacher, and I knew they was selling drugs. And so one day they seen me and they just, hey man, give us a ride down to Molette Street. I wasn't thinking. I just wasn't being wise. I said, hey, hop on the back of the truck and I'll give you a ride down the street. And I gave them a ride down the street and they hopped out and that was it. But the Spirit of God dealt with me. Don't you ever do that dumb stuff again. If you know what they doing, these boys can get in your truck. You get pulled over. They leave something in your truck. All they got to say is, this ain't my truck. They were just giving me a ride. And guess who it falls on? Me. Why? Because I wasn't being wise. So I would see them. They try to halt me down. I just kept going. Yeah, I'm wise. I can't be unwise. I can't be on that dumb stuff. And you in your individual life, young folk, you can't afford to be stupid. Can't afford to be stupid. You cannot afford to be unwise. You can't. As a young person, a young lady, if you in your mid-teens and somebody in their early 30s is trying to talk to you, you can't be stupid. You cannot be unwise. He's just trying to get something from you. And you cannot be unwise. Because you can be in your mid-20s, but you look like you old. Don't be unwise talking about something. Yeah, I'm 22. You lying. You can say, well, I look like I'm 22, but I'm not. Don't be unwise. When you are sexually tempted as a young person, you just can't be like, well, I'm going to do this wrong. Don't be unwise. Surely they look like they don't have nothing. You can't afford to do stuff like that. Y'all hear me? Well, let me just try this one time. These are my so-called friends. Let me just hit this one time. You cannot be unwise. That one hit can mess up your life. That one little hit. One little hit. One little hit. You go and now all of a sudden you've been on the job 2 years. They ain't never had no surprise drug testing. But you done took that one little hit 2 days ago. Now you ain't got no job. Or they laced it with something that you was unaware with. I mean, you cannot be unwise. Woo! Y'all hear me? Let's go to Proverbs 3. And 7. Proverbs 3 and 7. You have to be able to discern what to do and what not to do. Just because you got good credit, that don't mean you need to go and buy up everything. Yeah, you know I got a 725, so I'm gonna go and get this right here. Look, don't do that. If God didn't tell you to do it, well, I got good credit, I could do it. You can. Look at Proverbs 3 and 7. Y'all still with me? All right, read it loud. Prove it to me. Ready to go. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be, help me, in your own eyes. No, always be to the point. Lord, this the situation. What do I need to do? Don't ever just try to figure stuff out on your own. And if it's something you don't know, you just ask the Lord. And I'm going to show you that in Scripture. God will give you wisdom. God will give you wisdom. If you lack it, God will give it to you. Matter of fact, let's go there now. Let's go to James. Let's go ahead and go to James, and then we're going to go to one more verse, and we're going to be done. Okay, James 1 and 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask who? God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Just ask God for wisdom. Lord, I'm in this situation. What do I need to do? I'm responsible for this. What do I need to do? Ask God for wisdom. And he'll give it to you directly or indirectly. He'll tell you, call so-and-so, and they'll tell you. They'll give you good counsel. Call them. Just don't try to go out and do something because you think that's what you should do. You just don't invest in something just because you think you should invest in it. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and he'll direct your path. And see, we're going to talk about faith and money. But I wanted to lay this foundation to get us to understand we need to be faithful and wise. Yeah. Because y'all going to be coming into money, but we had to be wise with it. We're going to have opportunities, but we need to be faithful when we get opportunities and wise when we get them opportunities. Are y'all with me? All right. Last verse. Let's go back. Let's go to Proverbs 3. Again, we said, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. One thing I want us to see in this verse, young people, you got to respect evil. Respect evil. Why would he tell us to fear the Lord and depart from evil? Evil is strong. Evil is powerful. So don't be wise in your own eyesight. Respect God's decision. And if it's something you want to do that ain't right, just leave it alone. Leave it alone. Why? That evil is something. Last verse, Proverbs 14, 16. Are y'all still with me? All right. Last verse, and then we're done. A wise man fears and departs from evil. See that? A wise man fears and departs from evil. So I'm not going to be wise in my own sight. I'm going to be wise according to God's knowledge and understanding. And if something is evil, I'm just going to leave it alone. Sinful and so forth. I'm just going to leave it alone. Even though it looks pleasant, I'm going to leave it alone. That's what got Eve messed up, looking with her eyes. She wasn't obedient. She wasn't a good steward. She got to dealing with somebody she had no business dealing with, and they had her looking at things that she shouldn't have been looking at. All right? So as a steward, I need to be faithful and wise. I need to be faithful and wise. When it comes to being a steward, I talked about three areas young people especially need to be good stewards of. Time, people, and money. How many understand what it means to be a faithful and wise steward by a show of hands? Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the lesson on this morning.
Yeah, yeah. You say you're searching for happiness. This the way to go. You say you want peace. This the way to go. If you're trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all want to live. This the way to go. The show. 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 This the way to go. The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go. Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.